How can I love God? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks, Pete Owenson, for coming in. I want to do the kind of Johnny Carson, and here's Pete.
Right.
I do appreciate your coming in.
Good to be here, man.
Pete Owenson is my pastor, and he comes in on Fridays, and we answer questions together. We love to get your questions, but we prefer that you write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. You can email us, steve@keylife.org, but give us your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always get a response from me or a member of the staff or in the magazine or on the broadcast. And please don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get all kinds of neat, free stuff there. Or you can help us pay for some of the neat, free stuff by making a contribution. But you do have to write your questions down. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer and we'll get to these.
All right. Father, we do have a lot of questions in our lives, and we come to you on this Friday in prayer, grateful that we don't have to have all the answers. We know that you do. And Father, we bow in your presence and pause for a moment to remember that you are bigger than we are, that you are the creator of all that is and outside of your creation and yet very much involved. You are transcendent and you are immanent and nearby. We praise you for your strength and your wisdom and your majesty, as well as your glory and your kindness and your warmth. And we just come to you today because you are our Father because of Jesus. And we give you praise for that. We glory in our relationship that we have with you. Lord, we do look forward to worship as we are drawn into your presence and not just focused on ourselves. And so this weekend, Lord, we ask for our leaders that they would lead us into worship and they would keep us focused on you and teach your word and all of its clarity and power and help us to be listeners to what you say. Father, we thank you for this country and this week as we have remembered the events of September 11 of the past year. Lord, we're thankful for what we have, and we are thankful for the freedom that we have in this country. And we pray for those who are still recovering, either physically or emotionally, putting their lives back together. We pray your blessing on our country to the end that this would be a place where you are honored and lifted up and glorified. We pray you'd be with us now as we field these questions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this is from Florida, and it's really two questions. First is, how can I seek God? And then the second question is, how can I love God?
Yeah, isn't it Pascal who said,
yeah.
I would not have sought you unless, I'm not putting it right, but...
If thou hadst not already found me.
There it is.
I'm not sure that's right either, but the point is, I mean, people, unless they're not listening, understood what we were saying.
That's right. If they know the Gnostic language...
That's right.
You know, we can't see God unless he first seeks us. So that's very, very biblical.
Yeah,
I would not have found you had you not... What is that, Pascal? We'll find it.
Yeah, but it's something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would not have searched for thee if thou hadst not already found me.
There it is.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And C.S. Lewis has a great comment. He said, to say I was searching for God was like saying a mouse was searching for a cat.
Yeah.
But right. I'll tell you, the very fact that the listener asked the question means that you're already hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And you can flip around in the water, but you're just going to get your blood in the water. You might as well just give up. Let God reel you in and that sort of thing.
No one can come to me unless the Father draws him.
That's true.
Jesus said. And so, you know, it really is from the start to finish, it is a God thing, our salvation. And but this may well be a Christian saying, how can I continue to seek God? And
oh, yeah.
And if it is a Christian
saying that,
then you seek him in his word. You seek Him in the transitions of your life. You seek Him in the difficulties of your life through prayer, through getting counsel.
What is that passage? When you seek Me with all your heart, you will find Me.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the navigator. Where's that?
No, that's right. I'm not sure.
It is in the Bible, though, isn't it?
Yeah, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you, James says. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Yeah,
Matthew 6:33.
Yeah, but you missed the first one.
I don't know that one.
And
it's in hesitation, 6:8.
How do you, there is a sense, I think both of us teach that there's no faith faucet you can turn off and on.
Right.
And no love faucet you can turn off and on. Mm-hmm. So maybe you go to Him and ask for the grace to seek Him.
That's right. And even the grace to love Him. And I think, 1 John has some, that second part of that question, how can I love God, says in 1 John, we love because He first loved us.
It's true.
There's so many good things in 1 John about loving God and loving one another, and they're integrally connected in Scripture.
Yeah. Eric, who's the producer, our associate producer, Tim, is in the little glass booth today.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah, it's dynamite. Yeah. Can you imagine a ministry like ours having two guys like this?
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, Eric at our church has been doing a small group thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you see it. Mm-hmm. And he said, we really are going to get together to be more obedient to God, but what we've tried before doesn't work. And he said, look, I think we ought to try letting God love us.
Mm.
And he said, I don't know if that'll work, but it's the only thing I know yet to try.
That is
and
it.
That's it. Let God love you. And with that love, you can love Him back.
That's right. And with so much of this teaching on obedience in the Scripture, we try hard because I think deep down we think if we're better, He'll love us more.
Yeah.
And that's just not possible.
No, it isn't. And that's a comforting. I believe that 51% of the time.
Yeah.
But your issues keep. And the baggage that we carry, the production, the teacher who told me I was ugly, and all that comes back to haunt. And you really want to. So sometimes even your sin is a way that God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That He reaches out and you're forgiven and you say, how could you forgive me for that? And then you get hugged and loved. And all of a sudden out of that grows a flower of love. Which is not to suggest, so don't write letters, that you ought to sin so grace would abound. Okay, this is an email. What's the difference in 10 words or less between justification, sanctification, and glorification?
We don't want to add propitiation. exaltation. Well, justification, the difference. Justification in the biblical sense is when we receive Christ through faith, we are declared not guilty from our sins. That's a forensic, to use a good theological term.
I mean legal?
A legal term. We are declared not guilty. Sanctification is that process of becoming, in fact, in our practical life, what we are by declaration. We are declared not guilty, and sanctification is becoming more and more set apart to Christ.
Is that a one-time thing, or is it a process?
It's a process, yeah. A long-going process, and it'll happen until we die, and that's when glorifications happen. 1 John 3:2, when we see Him, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. What do you think?
I agree with you.
But I think some theological systems confuse sanctification and justification.
Oh, I do too.
And
that's the ground of legalism.
That's right. Now, how does that work?
Well,
how is that confusion?
You have to, as you begin to walk the Christian life, you're not going anywhere. You have to be really assured that forensic declaration is real in your life, that you belong to Him, that He'll never let you go. That grace is unconditional, that you're mm-hmm. accepted unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that, you begin to allow that faith to produce the works in your life.
Exactly.
But if you get those things backwards, you got serious problems.
Real problems. So what we see is some people approaching justification through sanctification.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to get better and become more set apart. And then finally, God will justify me. And he says, no, it doesn't work. It's the other way. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can grow.
Good.
Boy, that's good. That's the gospel, man.
It is. We ought to have an invitation. I'm trying to look for the question.
Yeah,
somebody
there is a question. Is it okay to do that? Was one of the questions.
I mean, it would be an appropriate question if you can find it. I'm on this.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Excuse us for a moment.
There it is.
Where is it?
On the next page, it is, what do you think of having an altar call? It's from Florida.
Okay, I still don't
down
see it.
Down toward the bottom there, that third page. Way down there.
Oh, cool.
There it is.
All right, let's answer that question next. You know, this is a really professional program. The way we plan and prepare for this, listen, what do you think about having an altar call?
I think it's great. I think it's great, but not mandatory.
Yeah.
I think churches do it differently. I grew up Baptist, and we did them there, and now I'm a Presbyterian pastor.
You do it occasionally, don't you?
Occasionally, yeah. Oh, yeah. We let people pray almost every Sunday to receive Christ. We don't have them necessarily come forward to do that prayer.
You generally just say, speak to me or an elder or somebody on the staff.
Yeah. And we find a lot of people come to faith in Christ in our church in our membership class.
Yeah.
And a lot of our churches, that seems to be the way, because we really present the gospel, give them an opportunity to interact with us over it.
So an altar call is a good methodology, but not chiseled in concrete.
Right. And I would say the only downside is if you're seeing the whole service as a way to manipulate a person to get them to walk forward, and you think that means they're converted, you probably have it wrong. They might be converted, but maybe not.
Yeah, that's so true. You know who has this, and Franklin Graham does too, but Billy Graham and Franklin Graham both have this gift of inviting.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go to their services, and I remember when I was a liberal going to one of Mr. Graham's services in Boston. And I've seen this in Franklin too, that you know, the sermon's good and you know, you think that's fine, but that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
When they invite, the Holy Spirit comes and it's a magnificent, kind of thing.
You think that's the gift of evangelism?
Maybe. Well, of course they've got the gift of evangelism.
Well, I mean, do you think
I'm going to say on an international broadcast that Billy Graham doesn't have the gift of evangelism? What do you think?
Crazy? No. What I mean is, do you think that's the essence? I should have been more clear. Is that the essence of evangelism, that when the evangelist invites, people respond, and that's we see the gift of God at work?
I'm not sure, but I think so. It's certainly a part of it. And I think that can be individual in a large stadium. You know, you see people that just have this gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's so winsome to say, come to him. And people say, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the gift. Well, we're out of time.
Well, this has been good.
It really has.
I hope the Graham people are not upset with us.
You. No, you said it. I didn't. Hey, guys, we want you to give the call letters of this station when you write or call. And then one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.